I'm going to share just a few minutes tonight on what I call an oldie but a goodie. But years ago, this was probably one of the most popular topics in the church. I mean, it took that. You know how those church fads happen and come through and they blow through the church? It's like all across the nation, church jumps on the bandwagon of this fad. And I remember several years ago, this one came through and it just took the church by storm. And I got to be honest with you, I thought it was good. I read the book, listened to the messages, but I just thought it was good because I obviously wasn't in the season of this yet. But, you know, in my prayer times this week, been praying, and every morning the Lord just kept bringing me back to this and back to this and back to this. And I began to remember all the things years ago when this was one of the most popular buzz terms in the church today, how powerful it was then. And I felt like God spoke to me, especially this morning, and said, this needs to become your prayer, because every great move of God always begins with prayer. You guys remember the prayer of Jabez and the book that came out years ago? How, I mean, I'm telling you, it became so popular that I wouldn't even get around it really, because so many, but I look back now and it just wasn't my season for that yet. But I'm telling you, the Lord's been telling me every morning in prayer this week, this is my season and this is this church's season. I'm here to tell you tonight, this is your season for increase. But you're not going to get it if we don't lay the foundation of prayer first. Every great move of God always began with prayer. I told you this was going to be the year of opportunity. We've been looking for opportunities and moving toward opportunities, stepping into opportunities. What I felt like the Lord told me this week was it was changing. And what we got to focus on now is we got to begin to pray for the opportunities. So I'm going to just share. Maybe you're familiar with the prayer of Jabez. Maybe you're not. Joe, I'm going to go to 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. Maybe you're not. But if you're not familiar with the prayer of Jabez, like I say, I'm glad it's not the buzz terminology of church now, because it makes more sense to me when it's not the most popular thing out there. Does that make sense? So I want to take a look at it tonight. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 says this, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Now, in different translations, this means everything, but this part here saying more honorable than his brethren. One translation said he chose to live a more honorable lifestyle than his brethren. In other words, he chose to walk pleasing before the Lord. So this prefaced this prayer before we go any further, that Jabez was a guy that had made some decisions in his life that I just can't live an ordinary life, can't be just like everyone else. There's got to be some decisions that I make in my life that makes me different. And it's not that it makes me better, but it separates me from, if that makes any sense. Because the Bible says he's called us to be separated from us. So he says he was more honorable. What that means is he chose to do things more honorable before the Lord. Where other people could do things and get away with things, I tell you, that's their choice and their right to do those kinds of things. But Jabez had made the decisions that I'm not going to be like everyone else. And you got to understand, he made these decisions before he made this prayer. And I love the fact that there's got to be some decisions we make in our heart before we begin to ask God to do the thing that He's got in store for us to do. Because what you've got to understand is the desires of your heart. The Bible says, whatsoever you desire when you pray. You need to understand those desires in your heart don't come from just anywhere. The Bible says God gives you the desires of your heart. They are connected from God, and they will come from God, those desires. In other words, He'll give you what you want, but also what you want, He will give you. But the Bible says this, He says, but whatsoever you desire when you pray. Prayer has to be initiated first. So, first He said He made some decisions. I'm going to live different. I just can't walk like everybody else. I can't talk like everybody else. I just can't go where everybody else goes. There's going to be some commitments in my life that maybe not everybody understands, and I'm going to be committed to the things of God. He walked honorably before the Lord. You know, He made commitments to His church, His kid, all the things. There were decisions He made, and it said the decisions He made were not like everybody else's decision. In other words, it wasn't common. Jennifer was talking last Wednesday night about there being a narrow path and a broad path. The more common path is always the broader path. If you're doing what the crowd is doing, I want you to know there's a more honorable way to go. The same crowd that was worshiping Jesus was the same crowd that was hauling crucify him just a couple of days later. If you're going to follow the crowd, you're going to follow the crowd into places you shouldn't go at times. Think about it, even a church crowd. You can follow the church crowd in the wrong directions. What you got to do is decide on your own that I am going to serve the Lord and I'm going to honor Him in every possible way that I can honor Him, even if no one else does. And I can't tell you what those ways are. That's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to bring those own convictions in your level. People ask you, all ask me all the time, well, Craig, what are the sins of the Bible? These are the sins of the Bible. There are lists of sins in the Bible that say these things, well, if you do these things, this what will happen, this what. But the definition of sin in the Bible is this. The Bible says, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. In other words, what was sin for me, what I was not sin for me yesterday, today the Lord has the right to speak to me and say, hey, you can do better in that area. And I need to move away from that. At that point, it can become sin. You know, everybody's wanting just a list of do's and don'ts. No, there's never a list of just do's and don'ts. There is a list of things that God would ask you to lay down for Him. Because God will never ask you to lay down something that He's not willing to give you something better from Him in. So He's constantly, constantly asking me to lay things down, to give things up, or to move away from things, or maybe to draw back from areas. And I got to be honest with you, every time He asks me to lay something down, it hurts a little. Because the reason why I was carrying it in the first place is because I liked it. I remember when the Lord began to tell me about quit watching certain shows. There were nothing really wrong with those shows. But you know, the thing about those shows were, I don't know why He chose. Was it to tell you? I don't know, but there were, we had to make decisions. We had to lay the, there were actually times that, there was a time during the, I'm a big talk radio guy, If it was up to me, that's all I would talk radio. And it was during the election, the first election Obama was running, and every day there was, you know what I'm saying, it was like the most interesting news in the world. And I would get in my car. I was living in Florida at the time. I'd get in my car and I was listening to it to work. And when I was going to lunch, and the Lord told me one day, Craig, I need you to quit listening to talk radio. And I got to be honest with you. That like, well, God, there's nothing wrong with talk radio. It's keeping me up to date, keeping me pray about that. And the Lord said, and I had to lay it down because I knew every time I got in the car and it came on, I had this conviction. The Lord had asked me to give it up. Now, was that sin? Yes, it would have been sin if I had continued to listen to it. Once God asks you to do something and lay something out and you don't do it, you may, if you do continue to do it, let me let you know this. It will get easier for you to do, and eventually you won't feel the tug of the Holy Spirit on you, but it doesn't make it right or not, because every time you go before the Lord in areas, that will always be there between you and Him. I had something I didn't want to give. But I gave it up. And for a year, that whole election year, I decided I was going to replace it with worship. I was going to replace the talk radio with preaching. Now, would that have sent me to hell? You know, I believe it would have opened a door for me to go that way. Because if you start compromising a little here, how do they say it? You give Him an inch and He'll take a mile. You sear that conscience a little bit. You numb your spiritual senses a little bit here. And it's not before long that numbness will feed into here and will feed into here and will feed into here until you're numb all over. And when you get numb all over, I preach it in the form of when you get cold, spiritually cold, first thing to go is you're feeling, you get numb. You don't feel your digits and you don't feel your limbs. And before long, you get sleepy. If you go to sleep, yeah, it'll kill you. So I know this. The Lord wouldn't have been as clear with me on that to lay it down if I wasn't supposed to lay it down. Thank God. I wrestled with it a few days and I gave it down. After about a year of not listening to it, the Lord spoke to me and said, I can listen to it again. You say, well, Craig, that don't sound like God. Read the story where God told Abraham, take that boy I just gave you up on that mountain and lay him on an altar. God's always wanting to know, am I more important than that thing that brings you pleasure or enjoyment? And the Bible says this, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Here, Jabez said, I'm going to make the hard decision and I'm going to choose to live in an honorable way. Every time you make an honorable step toward the Lord, and people can think it's crazy, and I got to be honest with you, I've never seen anybody try to please the Lord with all their might and they regret it. Never. Even when it's got crazy. My dad has done some crazy things in my life to get close to the Lord. I remember one year he fasted. His favorite thing is fried fish. He fasted fried fish for 5 years. I was like, Dad, that's insane. Jesus ate fish. And Dad's like, oh, you don't understand. I love fish, but I love Jesus more. And every time I don't order it or don't get it, I just get to look at, did God demand him to? No, Dad was so desperate to get close to the Lord, he's willing to give up anything he wanted to get. And that's what God does. God's always saying, do you love this? And I love this because Jabez says he was more honorable than everybody, all his other brethren. He made decisions to honor God in every possible way. And I believe because of that is why this next part happened. It says he was honorable. Let's go ahead. And it says, honorable of his brother. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bore him in sorrow. He was born in pain. He came into this thing causing his mom great pain. And, you know, theologians believe that his mother looked down on him because the childbirth was so difficult. So he probably grew up with a self-complex thinking that, you know what I'm saying, he wasn't as good as his other brothers. His mother, parents probably didn't love him as much. Because he grew up with this whole thing, I came in and caused pain. So it wasn't that he was really cocky or wasn't really had this great self-esteem issue. What it really, he came in having to battle self-esteem issues. But then it says this. Let's go to the next one. I said, this is an oldie but a goodie, but I'm telling you, it's been alive in me more this week than ever. And it says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast. And I'm going to ask you to go to the NIV after I read it this time. And that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldst keep me, not the NIV, I'm sorry, the New King James, keep me from evil, that they may not, that it may not grieve me. Oh, God grant him, and God granted him that which he requested. Go to New King James for me. Joe, it's easier for me to read. I'm going to teach you all that just for a couple minutes. 4:10. That's it. And Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my territory, and that your hand would be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that I might not cause pain. And then it said this. It said, and God granted his request. I tell you, we're going into a season, the first part of this year, and it's unique how God is now. This is halfway through our year. We're halfway into this year. This began. I began telling you, the Lord is speaking into me. This is going to be a year of opportunity. How many of you guys have seen opportunities in your life this year that you did not have last December? Jeff, better raise your hand. You got a better opportunity. Hey, just so you guys know, Jeff and Tika have gotten married. And we're going to celebrate their marriage in just a few weeks, or as their schedule allows us to. We're going to have a reception and everything for them. Give them a big hand clap. I tell you what, if you're single and you're doubting, does God have somebody for me? God brought her around the world. She's from Thailand. Brought her from around the world to get her here. How awesome is that? Going to jump right into this. Jabez, Bob says, you got to understand going into it. Number one, he battled self-esteem because he was born. It goes into detail how he was born and what he came through. The number two says that he made decisions to live honorably. He was going to make decisions to live for God. So his prayer that he prayed was not a selfish prayer. It was not a self-motivated prayer, but I believe it was a God-pleasing prayer. Because you need to understand the heart of God for you. God wants to bless you. God wants his children blessed. When you read through the Bible, nowhere in the Scripture does it say that God's desired his children to suffer. As a matter of fact, David said this. He said, I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Now, were there times in the Old Testament where the children of Israel or God's people would not do live pleasingly unto the Lord? And the Bible says he would deliver them unto the hand of so-and-so or this king or that king. Absolutely. Those were different dispensations. If you don't understand dispensations, that's a big fancy word for time and the way God did things. There are several different dispensations. In the Bible, we live in a different dispensation than what was written in the dispensation of the Old Testament. The dispensation of the Old Testament was the dispensation of law, meaning it was the time of law that children of God had to live by the law because the blood of the Lamb of Jesus had not been shed yet. So what they couldn't get their sins forgiven, so they were always under judgment because every man had sinned. And so what they would do is they would cover their sin with the blood of lambs. That was the dispensation of law. And so because they would mess up, something had to die. They'd mess up, something had to die. And so the judgment of God was always at work in the Old Testament. That's why when you read and God was angry, and God, that's not the dispensation we live in now. Now, God's plan has come to fruition to the point where we live in the dispensation of grace. What that means is this: you have unmerited favor. God has given you gifts you do not deserve. He's given you opportunities that we could never earn. And He's paid the price for you that you could never pay. And because He sent Jesus to pay those prices, Jesus has taken all the judgment so that you can... He's taken everything you deserve so you get everything He deserves. What does He deserve? He was innocent. He was blameless. He was at the right hand of God. He is a deity. And He is an heir of God. And you now have all of those things available to you. We live in the dispensation of grace. And this is an awesome dispensation. If I was going to live at any point in time in history, this would be the one I would choose. Because this is the one where I can mess up and I don't got to worry about being stoned. This is the one I can mess up and not worry about, you know what I'm saying, what the guys in the Old Testament had to worry about, because Jesus has already paid the price. Now, saying all that to say this: in the dispensation of grace, what God wanted to do for the children of Israel and the children of God in the Old Testament, He can now do. He wanted to be redeemed with them, but He couldn't. But now He can. He wanted to bless them in ways that in the Old Testament He couldn't. But now He can. Jesus bridged the gap that Adam and Eve and man and sin had made, that God spent thousands of years planning to get back across. And when Jesus paid that price, now God has an access. Not God necessarily, you have an access. You have an access to get back across that gap. And so we're in the dispensation of grace, meaning we get life we don't deserve if we will take advantage of the life we don't deserve. And so we live in a dispensation of grace. And so God wants to bless His people. The truth of the matter is, though, a lot of us don't believe we deserve to be blessed. And so some of us never get blessed because we don't believe we deserve to get blessed. We believe we've messed up. We know who we are. We know what we've done. We know how evil we are. What do you know? Paul said this. He said that, "Oh, wretched man that I am." He was more wretched. He said, if God was a hunter, I'd be the biggest stag in the forest because I'm that big of a sinner. I'm the chief of sinners, he said. But he understood we lived in dispensation. He had lived in dispensation of grace. It didn't matter what he had done. It mattered what Jesus did. And because Jesus did it, now he could receive blessings from God. Jabez did not even live in this dispensation. But the Bible said from the decisions he had made to live honorably and chose not to believe the thoughts that his past and where he came from would make him want to believe of himself, he had the boldness and he had the aggression and he had the faith and he had the desire within him to ask God to bless him. Now, as Christians, especially growing up in Arkansas and in different religions, a lot of us don't feel like we have the right to pray to God bless us. I want you to know something. God's heart is to bless you. He wants to bless you. The Bible says, "No eye has seen, no ears heard, nor even entered into the thought of man the good things that God has in store for those that love." He wants to bless you more than you've ever imagined being blessed. That house you've imagined having, He wants to give you a better one. That car you've imagined having, He wants to give you. That wife you've thought of having, He wants to give you a better one. He wants to give you better than you could ever imagine. Problem with it is, most of us aren't willing to pay the price to get it. What is the price to get it? Number one, you have to be able to handle it. You got to be able to handle it. The Bible says God will not allow us to have anything or go through anything that we can't handle without causing a way of escape. And the way of escape for a lot of us is we just don't get it. He's not going to bless you to the point it's going to destroy you. He's not going to allow the enemy to curse you to a point to destroy you. God protects you in good and bad. And so, first of all, you got to be able to handle it. And if you've not done what Jabez did at the beginning, made some decisions to live honorably, you say, "Well, God, this is always the thing. God, if you give me $1 million, I become a tither. I want you to know something. A $10 check is a lot easier to write than a $100 check or a $1,000 check or a $100,000 check. If you can't write a $10 check, you cannot write a $100,000 check. And it's just proven fact. Why did God bless me with $1 million? Because truth of the matter is, I couldn't handle $1 million. Bible says He will give me, He supplies all my needs according to His riches and glory. God's got $1 million. Matter of fact, I worked for Jesse, and God brought in $18 million for him to pay cash for a jet for. I mean, and you think, well, why would God do that for him? Because he could handle it. Let me ask you this. Do you have a $1 million dream? If you had $1 million right now, if God blessed you with $1 million and you walked out of here, would it already be put to use, or would you have to try to figure out ways to spend it? The truth is, I would love for this church to have $1 million in bank account. And I could say this. I would love for this church to, I know we would eventually get it all put to good use. But the truth of the matter is, I have not put this church in $1 million debt yet. Do you know why this church doesn't have $1 million in its bank? Because we don't need $1 million. I mean, that's just the truth. Could we use $1 million? Yes. Would we eventually find a good use? But until we get to where we need it, in other words, we begin to work with people and we begin to see a vision that will take $1 million. And most of us want God to bless us, but we don't know what God we would do with that blessing if we had it. And it's the truth. All right, the Bible, and this we're going to get far, we got 5 minutes. The Bible says this: He will supply all your needs, not all your wants. You've got to understand how to turn a need into a want. I mean, a want into a need. Until you learn to turn a want into a need, you don't get your needs. I mean, your wants, you get your needs. But I'll supply you. Let me give you an example. The lady came to Jesus, or came to the prophet and said this, says, me and my sons are in debt. Well, they had a need. We're out of debt and the debt collector's going to get us. They had a need. That's a need. Wouldn't you think? It was a want. Did not become a need till they figured out a way to get it done. This is what the prophet said. Go get all the pots you can get. Go get all, borrow them from your neighbors. Go until she created a canvas of empty pots in her house. So she went and got all the pots you get, filled her house with the empty vessels. Until there were empty vessels. So then he said, what do you have in your house? She said, I have a cup of oil. He said, go get all the pots. Until the pots were in there, the miracle of blessing did not come on that house. And the Bible says when they got as many pots as they could get, now they had a need. They took this oil, and the Bible says the oil started flowing out of the cup, and it flowed until every pot was full. But it said this, when the last pot was full, the oil quit flowing. Would that oil have kept flowing if she would have had another one? Absolutely, because there would have still been a need. As long as you got what you want is a want. Oh God, I want to do this, I want to do that, and it's just a want. The Bible says that God supplies all of our needs. You say, well, He gives you the desires of your heart. That's right. That want came from God you have. Now you've got to figure out a way to turn that want into a need. Because when you turn it into a need, He will supply all your needs. It's a promise. Jabez said this, Lord, bless me indeed. God, he knew God wanted him to bless him. And he said this, do it indeed. I need it, God. I need it. I need it now. Until we move to a place of blame. In other words, you put yourself on the line for God. This is the way God works. God works like this. You put yourself in a place where you need Him to come through on His Word. Then it's not a promise for you to get it. Does this mean, for example, there have been times that me and Jennifer, a commitment we made. Me and Jennifer made a commitment with one of the first businesses we'd started that we were going to pay $2,000 to a TV ministry. That's a lot of money to me. I didn't have $2,000. Matter of fact, I was unemployed. That's when this church was a dream and a plan, and I didn't even know how we were going to do it. We started about using my last few dollars to start a business, and we said, all right, at the end of this year, Lord, we want this business we've started to give us $2,000 so we can plant into TV ministry. And so we went on and filled out the commitment card. We will give $2,000 to the TV ministry this year. And we turned it in. We made that need go from a want to a need. Because that's just wanting to give the church $2,000? That was a want. I want to give the church $100,000 this week. Don't y'all want to do that? Wouldn't y'all like to do that? I would love to do that. Think about it. Until I get to a place where I need to do that, I'm not going to be the one God's going to be able to use to do it. We made that commitment, and this is no lie. Within 3 days, Cody, you were working for me at the time. Jennifer, come up to the business. Pulled me into the office. She said, Cricket, I need to talk to you in the office. I walked into the office. I was dirty as I could be. She sat there. She took a $10,000 check, laid it on the desk, and said, this just came in the mail today. We had no idea. Somebody just, in their heart, decided they were going to send us $10,000. Sent it to us. Let me tell you the mathematics on this. We don't got much time. The mathematics are on this. The Bible says in the time of famine, in Genesis, the Bible says that Joseph was king of the world, basically. He was number two in command. When he was number two in command, it says that the first year of the famine, it says that the people in the country began to starve and they came to him. And if you read In Genesis says this, it says, in that first year, they came to him and said, Joseph, we need to buy seed. So he said, buy grain and food. So they sold it to him. It says, he sold grain and food until he had all the money in the world. The King James Version says, all the money in the world. That's pretty blessed. All right, but this story is not about Joseph. This story is going to be about the guys that came to him. They said, we need food. And he said, all right, you can buy it from me. And it says, he sold enough food to have all the money in the world. Next scripture says, then they came back the next year and said, we're out of food. Said, here we got all this, all that. Well, you've already taken all of our money. Now take our land and our livestock. So it says, he got all the livestock and all the land in the world. Then it says, the third year of the famine, they came back to him and said, we've eaten what you've given us. You've got our land. You've got all the money. He said, now take our lives. And this is what he looked at them and said. He said, take your lives. Go back to your land. He called it your land. Gave it back to them. He said, and work your land. He says, and bring one-fifth of what your land produces back to me every year. All right? I saw that in the scripture that year. I'd never seen it before. Now, you got to understand that. So the Bible says it happened, and so for every year after that, they would bring one-fifth back of the thing. Now, that sounds really cool. You got to understand, that was only the third year of famine. There were 7 years of famine. So the land that would not produce ground seed before, in 3 years of a famine, with still 4 years of famine left, began to produce a harvest when no other land would produce. It was the land, the money, and it was the lives. When they connected themselves with something that was bigger than them, that was connected to the will of God and the plan of God, then God began to make things that wouldn't happen before begin to happen then. Does that make sense to you? He had said, so, and he says, bring me one-fifth. That means four-fifths of what that land produced, they got to keep. Does God want to bless you? Absolutely. Is God's will going to be accomplished? Absolutely. And God's looking for people that will allow themselves or position themselves or strap to their backs the will of God, and they're willing to pull it or funnel it, or have God will send what He needs to get done on this earth through you, and He'll allow you to keep four-fifths. Because He's going to send, so He's going to bless you at a level only one-fifth will cover it. Does that make sense? Jabez understood these principles. So he said, Lord, I need you to bless me. I need you to bless me. Because Jabez spent his life blessing people. We've got to get bold enough. Number one, no great move of God and no great outcome ever comes about without people praying. You need to get bold in your prayers, and you need to begin to ask God to bless you in the areas of your life that you want to be blessed in. You need to begin to out your mouth speak and ask God. Jennifer preached about it last Wednesday night. She said, we have not because we ask not. Are you asking God to bless you, or are you asking God to fix you or rescue you? If you'll begin to ask God to bless you, if you're asking to bless me today at work, bless me today at church, bless me today in the city, bless me in the field, you begin to pray and spend time asking God to bless you. No great move of God has ever began to work without prayer establishing it first. You begin to ask God to bless you. You have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. God will begin to answer your prayers. He said, Lord, bless me indeed. The next thing he said was this. He said, increase my territory. God wants to make you bigger. And until you're willing to allow God to make you bigger, you begin to ask God to make you bigger. See, we got small thinking. We want God to bless us right where we are, make right where we are comfortable. We want God to bring in enough money to pay our bills right now. We don't even get in our mind that if God would bless me in such a big way, how many people I can be a blessing back to. Right now, we actually know uncles or cousins or maybe somebody in church that's rich would say, oh, God bless them so they can bless me. No, God wants to bless you so you can bless others. And that will not happen until you get to a place where you can see God wants to make you bigger. God's wanting to make you bigger. This will be the last point. We're going to stop right here. We'll read the other ones later. But go to Isaiah 54:2. Isaiah 54:2. We'll start with, God's wanting to make you bigger. And until you can get in your mind that for God to bless you at the level your heart desires to be blessed, and you're going to have to be able to grow, you're going to have to be stretched, and you're going to have to reach out, then God's not going to be able to grant your request. Here's what it says. It says, in Isaiah 54, it says, enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out curtains of your dwellings. It says, do not spare, lengthen your cords, and strengthen your stakes. If you're wanting God to bless you this year, number one, He will bless you indeed. He will give you the desires of your heart, and when you turn them desires into needs, He will meet your needs. But before you can handle it, the Bible says you're going to have to enlarge your territory. You're going to have to get bigger. So what does it take to get bigger? It says, enlarge the place of my tent. The place of your tent are the areas that you're responsible for and over. Are you doing all you can do? Are you being all you can be? Are you looking for a comfort place? Are you allowing the pull and the tug of the Holy Spirit in your life to stretch you into areas that you've not been into before? Like Brother White, this trial he went through one set of lenses, it's a trial. Through another set of lenses, it was something that stretched his faith farther than it's ever been stretched. And now that his faith has been stretched in a level it's ever been stretched before, now his tent can go out farther and cover more territory and reach more than it's ever reached. Well, Jennifer says, and what you're going through is not bad. God's preparing you for a blessing. That stretching you out, that causing you... I'll tell you, I was telling some people this week, me and Jennifer got down to, we've never been this close financially in our personal life. We got down to $4. We had $4, and we didn't have four cash dollars. We had $4 available credit on a credit card, and me and her, between us both, have several. Because we use it, but I'd use every bit of cash, every bit of credit I could use, and we got down to $4 to the point this week, we were looking at how much available credit we had in our life, and I don't get paid for a while still, and we're looking at it, and we had to make this decision, how much gas are we going to get? And I got to be honest with you, since I was 16, I've not been faced with those decisions. But I got to be honest with you, I've been stretched a little bit since then, and I've learned this, stretching's not a bad thing. The Lord stretching me means I can handle more. And today at 2 o'clock, I got one of the largest checks I've ever gotten in my life. So yeah, I was able to write the largest tithe check. I've given more than this. I've done that. But I've never written a tithe check. But had me and Jennifer not have been willing... See, the Lord told us 6 months ago at the beginning of this year to allow the Lord to stretch us to this point. I just didn't know how far He was going to stretch us. I didn't think He was going to get me to $4. Because $4 wouldn't even hardly buy a box of juice boxes. And my kids were going to be asking for a box of juice boxes when we get out of church today. And so we were stretched to the stretch. And I got to be honest, there were some nights I was going to bed stressed to the stress. And now looking back, and it's like all of a sudden, at one moment, all that tension is like a rubber band. You know, the power in a rubber band doesn't happen until a rubber band has been stretched. You know, you leave a rubber band comfortable, and it's limp, and it's dead, and it's no fun. But I tell you what, you take that rubber band, and you put it behind a little bit of pressure, and a little bit of force, and the sky is the limit. Tanya, God wants to stretch you, not to break you. God has been pulling you, not to destroy you. He's been getting you reared back. So that stretch is what releases momentum and power in your life. I'm telling you, we got a lot of money today, but Jennifer's already spent it all in her mind. We're already looking at more debt than I could ever even, because what it did was it stretched her faith. That last venture she stepped out, I said, that's a lot of faith, Jen. And it stretched us down to where I was freaking out some nights. But because she allowed us to be stretched, now it's like a wave of cold air came over me. Like, praise God. Now Jennifer's talking about what we're going to do tomorrow. And I'm like, Lord, baby, let's take a breather. But we're stretched again because, I'm telling you, the thing about a rubber band is this. Every time you stretch it, it has the ability to stretch more. And a little bit more, and a little bit more. Until that rubber band can do things and go around things and handle things, and its circumference it can cover is more than you ever thought it could cover. You need to start praying, God, please bless me in this area. Start dreaming about ways and make your dreams big. He says, enlarge my territory. I want you to know right now, the dream that you have that God's wanting to use you for is not big enough. You need to make it bigger. Allow God to stretch you. And then what the stretching part is, number one, dream it. Lord, bless me indeed. The number two is, start walking toward it. The minute you take a step toward it, you're going to start getting stretched. You're going to get stretched. You're going to get stretched. But I want you to know something. When you get there and them hands are released into your life. Because the Bible says that. It says, on that one, it said this. It says, and Lord, put your hands in my life. When His hands get on that band and let it go to go farther than it's ever been. I'll tell you, I want to put a challenge before you this week. We'll go through the rest of it later, but here's the key components here. Enlarge the place of your tent. Start asking God to make areas of influence, areas of leadership, areas of dwelling in your life bigger. Ask God to get you to a place where you can handle more. Reason why you can't handle any more bills than what you got right now is because you're barely handling the ones you got. I want you to know something. With prosperity comes more bills. So begin to handle the bills you got. Handle the bills you got. Start asking God to move you another way. Everybody wants success until you get success. And when you find success, success brings a big headache. It's just the truth. I remember Brother Jesse Plantis set me down at my desk one day. He said, "Cricket, every time you spend $100, it's like me spending $100,000. That's the level we're on." I said, "Jesse, I want to be at your level." He said, "Brother, you can't handle my level right now." And I agree. If I spend $100, you just know Jesse. He walks in joy, lives in joy. And he began to show me things, and I began to dream big at those points. And that's where me dreaming of this church came out of place. But you need to start dreaming. Start dreaming big. Dream bigger than what you're doing. The number two, you need to let those things stretch you out. Next time you're stressed out, don't stress out. Stretch out. Reach up and just say, "God, I thank you. You've never failed me in the past, but you're not going to fail me now either. I thank you for stretching me. Because the more you stretch me, the more I can handle." Then it says this, "Do not spare." It says, "Lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes." It means begin to reach more people and begin to do. You know what? Life is like a tree. The higher you grow, the deeper you need to go. A lot of people want to grow high and spread their branches. But any old storm come by can knock that tree over. It's the trees that while they grow up, they grow deep. And where you grow deep at, I'm telling you, the Lord began to stir it in me this week. We have to begin to pray in this ministry more than we've ever prayed before. And pray differently than the ways we prayed before. You need to start spending time praying. We have to grow deep in this season if we're going to grow up. And so I saw it this morning. It was a picture of a tree. I actually texted Roger. I texted you the prayer, Jabez, earlier this morning. Because the Lord showed me this ministry in your life and everyone in this part is like a tree. We're about to bloom forward. But for those to be able to handle it, have got to bloom down. And you need to start spending time praying. If you haven't been praying over your future, your destiny, opportunities, and your dreams, you need to start praying over them now. In the morning, when you're spending time with the Lord, you just begin, if you don't know how, you begin to pray the prayer of Jabez the same way he began to pray. "Lord, bless me indeed. And broaden my territory." And we'll talk about the next 2 points next week. How many of you guys are going to agree to pray this week for blessing and for length?